You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Found a part of little hell out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, I got to tell you, Bill, if I felt any better, I have to see a doctor. And let me tell you why. I reverted back to 1965. Actually, just mid-60s. Let's leave it at that today. Have you ever been into one of these phone stores, like these Verizon and T-Mobile and AT&T and Sprint stores, you know, like the cell phones? Have you ever been into one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've been into one today and on the East Coast, and I got to tell you a story about it. It's kind of cute, all right? I get in there, and they got somebody greeting you at the door. It's kind of like when you go to a car lot and five salesmen come converge onto you. And, hi, my name is so-and-so. Can we help you? So my words to this young lady was, yeah, I need $1 million. Oh, she says, well, I can't help you. I says, so why did you ask me to help me? So he progressed to go on as I'm pulling her leg. I says, you know, my gosh, you have an American name. That is so wonderful. Her name was Ashley, okay? most of the times today you got these all these crazy names that you can't even pronounce, right? And as it went down the chain, next one was Brandon, and it went from Brandon to Charles, Charles to Mary, Mary to, they were all American, okay? And I was shocked. And I said, wow, this is incredible. Now, I don't think the oldest guy or person in this store, and there must have been 13 of them, were older than 23 years old. And there's a moral to this story, ladies and gentlemen, so you'll like it. As four of them out of the 13 were women, young ladies, the one that served me or waited on me, I asked her, how old are you? And, of course, she wouldn't say it. And I says, you know, you look like Kim Kardashian. She goes, oh, thank you so much. I said, how come a pretty girl like you isn't married? Oh, she says, I just haven't found the right guy. She says, but I do have three children. What's the moral of that story, Bill?
Well, wait a minute, it gets better. Keep looking for the right guy.
Yeah, it gets better. And I said, out of the three children that you've had since you're only 21, well, she had a busy life. I meet the next one. And as the next one comes by, and she's telling me her story. I think she was 19. She had four children. Okay? And the story just kept on getting worse. The moral of this story, ladies and gentlemen, is real simple. Life hasn't changed in 40 years. People were stupid then, and they're stupid now. Maybe stupider, if there's such a word. You know, this country's got way too much people in it. Look what in China now. My God, you're only allowed to marry at a certain age. I think it's 27. And you're only allowed to have one child because they know they had an epidemic going, something going crazy. Maybe we should start regulating something here in the United States, folks, because it has gotten stupid. I was amazed today. I don't get out as much as I do. I've been just, you know, had my head in a hole, I guess, somewhere. I don't know if the morals are there anymore, the standards are there anymore. But I got to tell you, I was shocked, just totally shocked. Nobody there over 22 years of age, and some of these women having four children, ladies and gentlemen. So how old were they when they got started? Incredible. One good, and the upside of this whole thing, at least they're working and not sponging on the system. So that means an awful lot. But
well, you got to ask yourself, where's the guy? Or the guy?
Well, you know, Bill, I'm glad you
said
that.
It's a two-way street.
You bet it is. You bet it is, you know. So I guess the moral of the story is, ladies and gentlemen, especially young people out there, okay, I know that we all need to have some kind of relief, and I know that it's great when you see an attractive guy, an attractive girl, and you guys get it on. But, my God, think about the consequences, okay? For a few minutes of pleasure, you may be having a lifetime misery. Always keep that in the back of your head, unless you marry them and stay for life. Anyhow, what a show. What a stellar show you guys got going on here. Now, let me tell you something else, some news that I want to give you guys out there. I get a phone call yesterday from the BBC. People had filmed me about 2.5, 3 years ago. I don't even remember anymore. And they tell me, Tom, the film is done, and we got accepted at Hot Docs. Hot Docs mean hot documentaries in Canada, and it's at the end of this month in April. And I said, well, that's wonderful. Congratulations. He says, I've got to tell you, the people who have screened our movie and they see you in it, they all say, why doesn't he have a show of his own? This man is incredible. Then there's a PS to that. And the PS was, this man is going to be the next occult hero after people get to see this movie. Well, I told him, I said, you're mouth to God's ears, and I hope that's the occasion, because that would be a hell of an honor for me. That happened during the day. Last night, I get a call from a producer of the O Network. Do you know what the O Network is, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Oprah. Actually OWN. It's the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Yeah.
And the guy says that we've been monitoring you, Mr. Biscardi, and we would like to talk to you about a reality show. And I said, what an honor. That would be wonderful. So we're going to see what happens there also. Forget about...
Well, you also have this thing coming up here at the end of April, the Lionsgate Entertainment pilot.
Ooh, I forgot about that, too. That's right. Thanks for keeping me on target, on point there, Bill. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got so much in the hopper right now. I just can't believe it my own self. It just drives me nuts. And if it wasn't for Bill keeping me on in tow, I'd be in a world of hurt, believe me. But the show that you have amassed tonight, Bill, and I got to tell you, I've talked to a few of these people, especially the first one. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out there to Tennessee. We're going to talk to Mindy. This woman is a fantastic, fantastic gal. Without any further ado, because we got a long show, let's get out there to Tennessee. Mindy, you on the line?
Yep.
Good evening. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Hey. Listen, I got to tell you, you really took me back when we talked on the phone, and here you are amongst a ton of people around the globe. And you know what? We're honored to have you. There were some of the things that you had cited to me on the phone, and I had to sit down because I've heard of things like this in the past, but really never talked to one who had experienced it up close and personal as you did.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give us a nail print from the beginning to your last encounter or experience, and highlight the best. Can you do that for me?
Okay, well, basically, it's hard to put it all into words, you know, and I know I don't really know how much time I have to really explain it all, but...
Well, let me give you a little help. You've got 10 minutes.
Okay. Oh, 10 minutes. Okay.
It's a long time on the air, dear.
Well, I had some trauma in my childhood. I have to explain that. And so because of that, I would block things out. And so what all this did was that, along with Bigfoot encounters, is that when I would have an encounter, I would block it out. Well, because of my job, I'm out of the sunlight for so long, I developed vitamin D deficiency, and so the doctor had put me on prescription doses, 50,000 units once a week for a couple months, and during the winter. And so then this is actually the second winter that I was on this prescription, and then I started having memories of Bigfoot. And the first one was around maybe I was like 4 or 5, and I had... We're visiting a friend who lived on the lake, and this is in Minnesota. I grew up in Minnesota, northwest Minnesota, but then this friend lived in more central Minnesota. And I walked up to this, what I thought was a hairy, red-haired, hairy man lying on the ground. And I was only 4 or 5, but I was just off of the property, you know. And he gave me a big smile. He pulled pulled me towards him, he took my index finger and he drew it to his mouth, and he went, ah, ah, ah. And I, you know, and I said, oh, do you have a toothache? And he's like, he was shaking his head, yes, you know, but then I was asking him different questions, and I couldn't communicate with him, and I was so frustrated. And so I just said, I pretended that that's what it was. It was his tooth, and that I needed to go get help. So I just needed an excuse because I was a little, you know, I didn't know what to do in that circumstance. So I said, I'm going to go back and get my brother, and I'll come back. And so, and I didn't understand why he wouldn't get up from the ground because, you know, he was laying down, and he was about like an average-sized man. And I, you know, to tell you the truth, you know, like, I don't know if he was just coming out of the juvenile stage, but what throws me off about his age was that he had two deep lines in his forehead. You know, and usually in normal humans, you know, when you see a deep line, they're older. But I don't think that was the case. It's just that he was probably outside so much. So I went up to get my little brother, who was like two at the time. We trekked back down, and by then he had fallen asleep, and it startled him, you know, and I said, oh, can I show him your tooth? And he woke up, and he kind of startled, and he put his arm straight over his head, just like an orangutan, and then turned over, and he just put his back towards us, like, I don't want to be bothered right now. And so I told my little brother, I said, oh, we better not bother him. So then we walked back up to the house, and I was telling the adults that there's a sick man in the woods. And, you know, and I don't know if they really paid attention to me. You know, they, you know how adults are. They're just busy with their tongue, you know, their conversation. And so then, many years later, and I had, you know, different small encounters. Different encounters around the state, but then going further ahead to the one when I was 16, there was different things occurred throughout that day. I was chased out of the woods. Well, I'll tell you about that too, and then the next one. I was taking care of my, you know, watching my nephews, and they're kind of very energetic, and so I wanted to get away from them for a second. So I went into the woods just a little bit, and because there was this trail that went back, and so I thought, okay, I just needed a breather, okay? And so that I go in there, because they didn't follow me. They stayed back on the lawn, and so I go into the woods, and I heard this. And then one was straight ahead, and one was towards the lake. And, before that, I had this faint whiff of horse's smell. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. We don't have any horses around here. And so then I heard those two noises, and then straight in front of me, lying on the ground, was this dark figure, kind of black, and it was kind of behind a bush, but it was actually flatter. It laid flatter than a bear, but I thought, oh, my God, if that's a bear, I better get out of here. So then I turn, and I'm headed back to the lawn, and I could hear this thump, thump, thump right behind me, and it was gaining on me. So then, but it was just instinct in my mind. It was on my mind that is when I get out to the lawn, everything's going to be okay. And it was just on my mind, you know. So I'm getting, and I had to trot a little bit to get out to the lawn. And then it's exactly what happened. Right when I got out to the lawn, it turned and went right up the property line and went back into the woods. And I didn't even turn. I didn't look back. I didn't dare. I just went straight to the house, went into the house, and I blocked it out. So then later I go back out, and my nephew said, Minnie, did you see that man behind you? He went like this, and you know how little kids imitate, you know, and he took these really big steps with his, and, you know, and I had blocked it out, and I thought, what are you talking about, you know? So then Well, then that night, we were planning on staying in the tent, my nephews and I, and they chickened out. Well, because they remembered what had just happened. See, and I had already blocked it out. So here I am setting myself up for another encounter. And so, you know, I'm in the tent, and this is like maybe 2 in the morning, and I'm hearing people swimming in this bay that nobody would swim because it was kind of like weedy and rocky, you know, and nobody would swim there. There was a natural beach across the lake that where we would go swimming, but nothing right close right there. You know, and I was hearing these oohs and ahs. And then, I didn't pay any attention to it. I just went to sleep. Well, then later, like maybe an hour or two later, I'm hearing these hoops and hoop, hoop. And I thought, oh, my God, they're coming towards the tent. And there was a couple of them that sounded female. I don't know how many hoops there were, maybe 4 or 5 different ones, something like that. So then, and I couldn't pay attention to it, but I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, it's coming closer. Well, then I just went back to sleep. Well, then later, here I'm hearing something.
Well, wait a minute. You're in the tent now?
Yes. Okay, yes, I'm in the tent.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so then I'm in the tent, and I'm hearing something crawling into the tent. I thought, oh, my God, I got to get my flashlight on. I turned on the flashlight, and here's this juvenile Sasquatch still crawling into the tent. And so, and he had the biggest smile on his face. He was like, you know, a 3-year-old, you know, you're catching them in something that he's not supposed to be doing. And he's, like, giddy and he's, like he's trying to hold back laughter. That's exactly what it was like.
What went through your mind when this thing entered into this tent? Is this a 2-man tent, a 4-man tent? Was it
a small tent.
Low tent?
It was small, maybe like a 3-man tent. 3 to 4-man tent, you know.
And how high?
Well, it's pretty low. I don't know. Like, I would probably, the roof would have been, if I sat up in it, the roof would have been not too far up. You know, maybe
okay.
A few inches
now,
tall.
Now, here's
the
big question. Here's the big question. What do you think he wanted to do or it wanted to do?
It just didn't cross my mind what it was doing there. It just didn't. You know,
he had his smile on his face.
I know.
Right? And here it is. What time of night is it, Mindy?
Oh, my God. It must have been like 3 or 4 in the morning.
3 or 4 in the morning. He walks in this tent, or did he crawl in? He has to go down to his knees?
He was crawling. He was crawling on his with his front hands and then kind of dragging his legs behind.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's in the tent, and you see this thing. Did it have an odor?
You know, I don't remember that at all, but see,
You were 16, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Somewhere
did
around
you
there.
Scream 16, and say, ah, get the hell out of here.
No, I was, you know, I thought, oh, my God. You know, this was just racing through my mind, you know. Here, this is like supposedly a...
Did you say, help, help? None of those things came to mind.
No.
So you're in this tent at 16, and this hairy creature comes into the tent with you and smiles at you. Do you think it wanted to play Parcheesi with you? Do you think it wanted to play Hearts with you?
It just didn't dawn on me what it wanted to do. It stayed. It just watched me. It was kind
of... Okay, listen. Let's cut to the chase.
Okay.
What did you tell me when you talked to me this morning, what you think the thing wanted to do? We have an adult audience.
Other people told me that I came very close to getting raped. And at the time, I suppose that, you know, I just didn't really... It didn't really cross my mind, not until towards the end there, where right before it bolted out of the tent.
Did he get aggressive?
What?
Did it get aggressive when it bolted to get to leave the tent?
Well, I didn't see. I had my I have to tell the rest of the story. Okay, so he's against the wall of the tent facing me. Okay, and I thought, oh my God, what do I do? Because what he was doing, his mouth was doing a jittering motion, like when a wolf wants to join a pack. I don't know if you've ever seen that in a wildlife show, is that when the wolf wants to join a pack, it will do this jittering motion with its jaws, with its mouth.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, with a lot of different animals of the forest, okay, when the females go into heat, and you know what that means, right? Okay.
Yeah.
They do things with their antlers, and they make howls and things like that, and of course, there's a smell that is protrude. Of course, then these bulls come from all over. So I'm wondering if that could be their mating signs or signals. What do you think?
Well, possibly. You know, I think it was just a cultural thing, you know, that, you know, maybe he thought that I was eligible and that he thought that, you know, he was asking to join my pack, so to speak.
Wow.
And so that.
Wow. Let me ask you this. You're a woman that's in her 40s, correct?
Right.
Okay. And you've got an excellent job, I know.
Yeah.
And you've got, you're a degreed woman, correct?
Right.
Okay. Does anybody else know these stories?
Yeah, I did, some one person has posted it on his blog, and it was put on North American Bigfoot Search.
Okay. Now, when was your last encounter? You've had him from the age of 5, and we know you're in your 40s.
Hey, Tom, don't worry. We got plenty of time, so don't worry about it.
Thank you, Bill. You're very kind to remind me. Isn't Bill a wonderful man?
No, we got two guests that aren't showing up, so we got plenty of time.
Okay, well, Bill is a terrible man then, isn't he? Because the guests didn't show up. What do you think, Mindy? Just trying to make light, sweetheart. Listen, so when was the last encounter you had?
Well, they sometimes follow me. You know, I know that sounds weird. I don't know if I'm marked or... Some people theorize that I'm marked, and so they follow me.
How many have you seen total?
Have I seen visually total?
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, that one, and then I saw him again that evening, and then the one when I was 5, and then there was a teenage girl. But then I've heard other ones.
Have any more been wanting to sleep with you?
No.
Have any
no,
more?
No. Well, you know. Okay, I have to tell you something else. Okay.
Tell me. I'm confident to bit myself.
Okay. Well,
right now. I can't stand.
Okay.
It.
No. When I was in the tent, and then So at first I closed my eyes because I didn't know what to do. But then when I opened it. Then he started leaning towards me, so then I thought, oh, my God. So I closed my eyes again. And then I thought, oh, my God, I don't want to piss him off. I don't want him to get mad at me. So then I wanted to give him a neutral response, so I turned my back to him. So then he started poking me in the in my right hip over and over and over, and he's going, over and over and over until somebody came out of the house, and then he bolted out of the tent, okay? Well, Mindy,
let me ask you this, Mindy.
Yeah?
When he was on your hip, you know, going, what do you think he wanted?
Well, I think he was getting close, like that repeated over and over and over. And then towards the end there, I think he was starting to get close to me.
Was he getting frustrated, you think?
He was getting closer to me where I think he was going to start to mount me somehow.
Oh, there we go. I love it. I finally got a real woman to come on the show and say that she was going to get mounted by a Bigfoot. And then what happened?
Well, then he got, you know, he bolted out of the tent.
Oh, so he never mounted you?
No.
Wonderful. Okay. All right. Now, do you realize, you know, for the last, let me see, 17 minutes, I've listened to you diligently. You realize that, don't you? And I've enjoyed every minute of it. Just, go ahead, laugh. I mean, it's you. This is your story, baby girl. Here's the story. I mean, this is incredible what I'm hearing. Now, have you had any other Bigfoots wanting to mount you since then?
Okay, well, I will say this. Okay, where from that friend's house to where I grew up was about 100. I grew up 100 miles north of there.
Uh-huh.
And we lived right next to the river, and I would go for walks in the woods, and I would sit on a log. There's this big log with a branch that came up, so it was a perfect sitting area. And I would. That's where I would go to pray, okay? And because I'm a strong Christian.
I'm sure you are. That's wonderful. What denomination, dear? Let me guess.
Holy Spirit filled. I'm not really.
Well, let me guess. Let me see. Are you?
Well, I like Vineyard, but
are you Pentecostal?
Of a Pentecostal type. Yeah.
Not bad for the first guest, huh? What do you think? You still with us?
Who are you asking?
I'm asking you. You said that you're a Christian, a strong Christian, and I said, you know, are you Pentecostal? And you said Pentecostal type. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Good. Now, have you ever danced or drank strychnine, or danced with snakes?
Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
No.
Okay,
no.
I have seen that done.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
in
I don't have the
Mountains in North Carolina, as a matter of fact. Okay. I have attended those sessions.
Really?
That's correct.
Wow.
So if you think your story is bizarre or different or out there, it's not. That's mild compared to the people up in the Appalachian Mountains.
Really?
That's right.
Huh. Okay, well, so I'm sitting on this log, right? Okay, so I didn't see any Bigfoots around me, but on my mind, this is what they do because they are psychic or whatever. On my mind, there was one that wanted to poke me right in the hip, right in the where that same spot was, where that other one had. And so
again,
I'm thinking,
the pokes in the hip. You've got to be. How old was this one?
I think this means that they want to have sex.
Okay. Now, you know what? I'm going to have you on at least once a week because it takes a while for me to get it out of you. But when you come out with it, boy, you're good. So now, how old was this one that wanted to have sex with you?
No, I never saw it. I never saw it, but I knew that they were around me because I could just feel
it. Honey, you just
said
it poked you. Did you not say it poked you?
It was on my mind that it wanted to. It was like a telepathic thing. It was like...
I'm going to tell you that right now. Don't ever drive through Texas. Do you know why?
Why?
Because you drive through Texas, and if you're a pretty heifer, good-looking girl, all the Texas boys out there walking by and say, hey, I want to poke that chick. I'm telling you, true story. I'm giving you some of the language that you're giving me. I've got to tell you something. You are a phenomenon. Okay? I love talking with you. I mean, do you realize the stuff that's coming out of your mouth? It's incredible. You laugh about it. How old were you? Will you answer this question for me, Mindy? How old were you when you had your last encounter?
Well, as far as actually seeing it or hearing it or what?
What was the last time one of them wanted you to poke you for real, you know, mount you, as you say it?
Well, that was the last one, but But I think there was a time after that where, I know you guys think this is bizarre, I think it was probably maybe when I was 22, I was camping, and I was with my, either one or both brothers was in the campsite with me, and the rest of my family went elsewhere. And
how
we
old
were, just
your,
sitting,
were your brothers then?
What?
How old were your brothers then when you were in your 20s?
Well, they're about, okay, so one would have been, if I was 22, one would have been 20, and then the other one would have been probably 15.
Okay, 15. So one of them there was a young adult, correct? Did they get
yes.
to see any of this?
Well, see, and that's the thing, because of my family situation with the traumatic things that happened in my childhood, and then...
Let me ask you before you go any further, and don't take this personally, okay?
No, that's okay.
Answer me truthfully, if you would, like you've been doing.
Yes.
Have you ever been institutionalized?
No.
You've never been institutionalized?
No.
Do you have suicidal tendencies?
No.
Good girl. All right, thank you. That's all I needed to hear. Are you on drugs right now?
No.
Good. All right. Do you smoke grass?
Do I what?
Smoke marijuana.
No.
Okay.
I never have. I've never done drugs or anything.
What about booze?
No. Uh-uh.
Well, Mindy, I've got to tell you something, okay? I would love to come and put you in a room, and I don't want to poke you. I just put you in a room and record and film you from 8 days of Sunday. And do you know why?
Why?
You still there?
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
Because I think you've got a hell of a story here to tell.
Oh, yeah, I do. I know. It's like my life is like out of a movie, I tell you.
Ah, you think?
Yeah, it is.
I've been doing
this
for a long time. You are the first one that I've ever had on the show to tell your story. And I've got to tell you something. You're an amazing woman. And at the end of our show here, Mindy, let me tell you what we do. We all leave it open to all the guests to ask questions of each other. And with all the guests that we have on here tonight, I think we're going to have a hell of a time. What do you think, Bill?
I think so, too.
Look, Bill, see how long it took Bill to get on the... Bill, are you drinking wine right now?
No, I had to push the button to unmute myself.
Oh, okay. See what you've done, Mindy? You've gotten him all confabulated. He had to push a button. All right, now listen, Mindy, we got a whole lot full of show, baby girl, and I love you. I have to tell you this. You are wonderful. You have been my best guest ever. So just mute yourself out. We got about 7 more guests, and then at the end, we're going to put everybody together and get ready, because you're going to get a deluge of people asking you questions, and you can do the same of them, okay?
Okay.
You're gonna hear their stories coming up. Thank you, sweetheart. Just, Bill, can you mute her out temporarily?
We got it.
Good. Let's go to commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
Wow.
And Tom, just so you know, and David couldn't make it because he's stuck someplace else and not home yet.
Totally,
so he'll have him on next
week. Don't worry about it. Do we still have Lisa from Colorado?
We got Lisa.
Okay, yes. Lisa, you're up, young lady. She's going to have, Lisa's from Colorado, and she talks about her experience in Idaho. On the mountains where she...
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Lisa. How are you? This is Tom.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
What do you think of Mindy? Isn't she incredible?
Oh, my God. I'm a writer. And I haven't been published, but I so want to write her story.
Isn't it amazing?
I wish that I had had such a privilege. That would have been such an honor. Even though they kind of wanted to mate with her, I still want that honor.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. And out of all the years I've been doing this, I said to myself, wow, this woman is incredible.
Oh, she's amazing. I'd love to have an opportunity to visit.
Well, you're going to get a chance to talk to her at the end of the hour. In any event, tell us what happened to you here in Idaho.
Well, I raised my kids in Pocatello, Idaho.
Okay.
And I'm 45 now. My kids are all grown, and I have grandkids. And I moved to Arizona before any of my grandkids were born because that's where my children went. And I decided I didn't want to be in Arizona. Everybody else moved, and I can't go several directions. So I decided to just go back to what was familiar. So I went back to Idaho, Pocatello, where I kept my friends and everything. And I have this one particular friend, Mike, who I hang out with day and night. I mean, we're like the best of friends. You could almost say we're Bobsy twins.
I like that.
He's a great friend, and we still keep in touch.
How long have you been smoking, Lisa?
Huh?
How long have you been smoking?
I've been smoking cigarettes since I was 5 years old.
Yeah. Oh, since you were five?
Yes.
Oh, that was about 2 years later than one of my other guests. Anyhow,
it was my punishment, so.
Well, you know, the reason why I can sense it, I smoked for 45 years myself, and it was one of the worst things of my, I loved it, don't get me wrong, but then when it affects your health, you'll find.
Well, I'm sure trying to quit. I'm down to 5 cigarettes a day.
I'm very proud of you, and keep me an update when you get down to 0. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. The reason why I said that, I can tell that you're a smoker with your voice.
Right.
That's okay. That doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Oh, no, not at all.
Somebody that has a friend that's a confidant as long as you've had a friend, and 'cause not many people have friends anymore. You know that, don't you?
I know. People take friendships at face value instead of for the worthiness that it really is.
Oh, that is so well put. You know what I tell people, Lisa? Here's what I tell them. On one hand, and only a few fingers, I can tell you how many friends I have. I have thousands of acquaintances. And you know what determines a real friend from an acquaintance?
They'll be with you through the worst of times, and they'll stick by you no matter what.
Close, Lisa, close. At 3:30 in the morning, get a phone call that your friend is in jail and you need to put your house up for bail and come up with $3,000 to get him out. How many friends do you think you can call to do that for you?
Well, I know I have at least 3 friends that I can call, and they'll come and get me from across the United States.
Boy, are you the luckiest woman in the world. Continue on with your story, dear.
Well, in fact, that's how I got back to Idaho. Mike went to Arizona and picked me up.
What, were you hitchhiking?
No, I lived in Arizona and called him and said, I want to come back to Pocatello. And he said, all right, I'll come get you.
Well, let me ask you something. Did he try to poke you at all?
He's dreamed about it all of his life, and he's never accomplished.
Hey, Bill, we got to turn this off from the Bigfoot hour to the sex hour. I'm getting a kick out of this stuff.
Well, I'm a little jealous with Mindy. I mean, gosh, you know, a little animal action's not too shabby.
Wow. All right, so he picked you up in Arizona, and then what happened?
I went back to Pocatello, and I stayed there for a year and decided, well, this isn't working for me. I don't have my kids. So just before I went to get ready to move again, and now I've raised my children in this town. My kids were in their 20s when they moved from Idaho. They're in their higher 20s and early 30s now. But when I was getting ready to leave, Mike and I always go to the mountains. This is something that is our daily ritual. Sometimes we'll go up there 2-3 times in a day. There's nothing to do in Pocatello, Idaho. Nothing. So the mountains are a pretty good escape. And every once in a while we'll go up there and have something to drink, or we'll go up and just hang out and talk, or just whatever, let the dog out and run, depending on if it's a day or a night. And it just so happened this evening we went out up into the hills, and I told him I didn't want to go down this road. It's called Scout Mountain. Scout Mountain kind of curls up and around and it merges into a place called Mink Creek. Well, we were going up into the mountain, and I didn't like it because there's a cliff on one side, and then there's like a high ridge on the other side of the road, and the road's kind of narrow. So if another car's coming, there's not really any place you can go. And I told him, I don't like going up here. It's really dark. You can't see anything, and I'm nervous. It's scaring me. He said, don't worry. I got a spot just right around the corner. And sure enough, around the corner, there was a spot, and he pulled in. Well, we were hanging out there, and a few nights prior to that, we saw some unusual lights in the sky and in through the trees, and we couldn't tell what it was. So that was one of the reasons we decided to go back up that night, is because of what we saw a few nights prior. And I'm a writer, so I like to look for the paranormal. I look for UFOs and all that malarkey. And sure enough, while we were sitting in the truck, I had a pee. So I got out of the truck.
Wait, I didn't hear that last part. You had a peep?
I had a pee.
Oh, pee.
I had to go potty really bad.
Okay, potty. Gotcha. All right. I want to stay focused here on this show. All right.
So I was afraid to go anywhere past the truck because you couldn't see your hand outside in front of your face. It was so dark. So I kind of squatted off to the side of the pickup right near the passenger door. And I squatted and I peed. And I got back in and we're hanging out and talking, looking at the sky. And I kind of got this musty smell. I could smell it. Smelled like a sour, musty, weird smell. Now, I didn't tell you is I have a habit of howling. I like to howl when I'm in the mountains. I like hearing the coyotes answer back and the wolves and all that. I've never really thought about a Bigfoot. Ever in my whole life. I've never really thought about Bigfoot, not stories about it or anything. I mean, I know that it's there, and I'm aware of it. I've just never really acknowledged it. Well, that particular night, my friend Mike told me not to howl no more because it drives him nuts that I do it. And then I got out to pee and got back in the truck, and I smell this odor, and so we start checking shoes, thinking that I might have stepped in something. And we didn't, and all of a sudden we heard this humongous bang on the upper part of his pickup. Now, he drives a Toyota pickup, and it has a shell on it. And it had to have been up on the top corner of the shell on the driver's side. There was this big, large thug, just a big bang, and it rocked the truck. It was so hard. I mean, it was like a boulder hit it. And we were just, like, freaked out. And Mike looked in his mirror, didn't see nothing. I looked at him. He looked at me. We were kind of frozen, not really sure what to do. And I said, I don't want to be here, Mike. And he goes, oh, don't worry about it. And then he went to get out of the car, and he just kind of looked around the corner. He goes, I don't see nothing. And I was like, it's too dark to see nothing. What do you mean? I said, I don't want to be here. Let's just go. So we got in the car and we left. And I never thought about it another day ever since. So a few days ago, about a week ago, I was watching a Bigfoot thing on TV, which was the first time I ever watched it, and it happened to be in Pocatello, Idaho. And they were talking about Mink Creek. And I was like, that's not where it is. It's in Scout Mountain. And then I realized, wait a minute, where we were is exactly where Scout Mountain and Mink Creek meet. So it kind of registered that I think that that's exactly what happened, is I ended up with an encounter without ever expecting it.
Wow. Wow. That is something else.
Well, you know, the way that he thumped the side of the truck, the back end of the truck, there was no damage, but it was so hard that I thought it was literally going to move the truck. It was like a signal, almost like, get out of here, or I want what's in there, or something. It was like an urgency kind of pound. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just the most eeriest experience I've ever had. I mean, I've had a lot of experiences in my life, but that was definitely on the top. It was amazing.
Thank you.
That I've heard about Mindy, I'm starting to wonder if maybe this little guy wanted to get in there and grab me.
Well, you know what? You'll have a chance to ask Mindy at the end of the show here. So why don't we mute you out, because we got some other guests that we got to hear their stories too. Is that okay, Lisa?
That's fine.
Thank you, sweetheart, and thanks for sharing with us, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, hon. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lisa down there telling her about her experiences. She'll be out towards the end of the hour talking with Mindy and the rest of our guests. Without any further ado, let's get out to Virginia and talk to my friend Anthony. Anthony, how are you? Wait a minute. Anthony, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hold on for a second. I want to say hello to Joel Logan. He's in the chat room right now. Joel, you paid me a wonderful compliment. And Joel says, a Tom Biscardi show would be a million times better than the Finding Bigfoot show. You know what? I don't normally agree with many people, but I agree with you, Joel. Thank you for your loyalty. Thank you for your sincerity. You're a trooper, and you'll always be in our hearts. Thank you very much. Anthony, tell me what's going on, son.
Well, happen to be two different areas, and one of them was the area where we had the got the print, where we casted that print. I was there recently with the last snowstorm that had come through, and there was, the next day the snow was, melting pretty fast, but it just so happened that we had trouble in that area and I had to go, and I went, before in the morning hours, because by the end of the day, a lot of the snow was just about gone, but while I was there, I stopped at that same point like I always do, just to see if anything was different, and of course, because it was snowing, I wanted to see if there was any tracks in the snow, and from that picture that I sent you, I came across that one track there. There was a lot of snow dripping all around, but this particular print definitely looked like it was an imprint of some kind, like something had stepped in it, and looked like snow had fallen around it. But that one, definitely looked like something was there. And I put my, gave you that second picture, put my boot next to it. My boot's about 12 and a half inches, so gives you a sense of scale of how big that print is. There was no, I know they got kind of like a long stride, but, if there was no print before, no print after, and the reason for that is because a print before would have put it right on the gravel road, print after would have put it right up on that incline, which everything was melting there. So that one, that particular print right there looks like the only one that was preserved in that spot there. The other pictures that you see of the trees bent, those are newly bent trees. I happened to be in my neighbor's property, and then a couple of weeks ago, and I just happened to be there again just yesterday. Those pictures I took there, those trees that were bent, I took those pictures yesterday, and I knew that something was different from the last time I was there. There's some property in the distance that they're logging. You know, they're clearing out a lot of land out that way. And I just happened to be going back there just to see, you know, what the landscape looked like. And I see these new formations, you know. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Not too far from where I set up my game cameras when I go deer hunting. But and I saw that, and I'm like, you know, there's no trees. I happen to be very familiar. I mean, there's no trees that have fallen in the area because, you know, they would have been cut up for firewood for sure. You know, so I know there's no trees that were falling in that area. I mean, you could just see there was something that was put in between, you know, kind of that V-shaped tree. And, you know, so, I mean, that thing was definitely placed there. So,
you know, I saw the pictures, and ladies and gentlemen, Bill's got a link to it. When you go to BigfootLive.com, you'll see the pictures that Anthony is talking about. By the way, Anthony, did you hear me at the top of the hour about talking about the BBC?
Yes, sir, I did.
You remember? I think you're in that film.
Yeah, I alerted my wife to to what you were talking about. Like, hey, listen to this. And
how long ago was that, Anthony? Because I don't remember anymore.
It would be about a year and a half ago, there, Tom. It was in October of 2011.
So coming up on 2 years here now, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Oh, man, that's totally phenomenal. When he called me and told me this, I just couldn't believe it. It just, you know, I says to myself, wow.
I don't know if you remember, Tom, but even when we were here, when we were having dinner together, even he, I forgot the producer, the filmmaker's name, but both he and that nice lady were saying that they had so much information on you that they could do a series just on you, you know?
You know, they did, and when they said that, it was totally phenomenal, okay? And I, you know, I hope that they get much luck with this movie. I just don't like the people that they've got in the movie besides myself, but that's okay. You know, you got to have the good, bad, and the indifferent. And when he told me that, hey, the people who've seen this here are all asking him, how come this man doesn't have a TV show, a series of his own? So we'll get to find out. We'll see what happens. And by the way, you've never met Gentle Giant. I've never met him in person myself. He's a guy that stands 7 foot one or two, I think. And
7 foot four, I think you said.
Oh, is it 7 foot four? So you pay more attention than I do. To the head of the class you're going. And he's a hell of a guy, and he's been in our corner since we started, and he's part of our family. And I'm going to get out there and do a movie just with him someday, I think. I really do. But the tree formations that I saw in those pictures that you've taken, without a doubt, you know that there's something going on. We know that there's something going on. You've got the only footprint that's ever been casted in that area that I know of. And you still got that, huh?
Yep, I sure do. Got it in a safe place.
Yeah.
And recently talked to the homeowner back there, you know.
Letting
us know we're welcome to go back there.
She okay?
He's doing okay.
Oh, what happened to her? She move out?
No, I think they just took it off the market for a little while, and they're probably going to put it back on soon. So, but they're still living there.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, I'm going to get a hold of Dave. You smooch yourself out because we're going to have, I'm sure, a hell of a debate here at the end where everybody's going to ask everybody questions, and I want you to do the same, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Just mute yourself out real quick, okay?
All righty.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony down there in Virginia, and hell of a guy. He's part of my family, too. I really took a liking to this guy. He's another one of my sons. Without any further ado, let's go see my son and talk to my son out there in the Four Corners. Dave O., how are you, Dave?
Hey, doing good.
What do you think of this show?
Hey, this is it's a fantastic show. Wow, I'm hearing some really compelling things that I've never heard before.
I guess that's the word, compelling. Yeah. My gosh. I mean, you know, we have that Lisa, she's a writer, and she's listening to Mindy and saying, wow, it would be an honor for me to do her story. So this might be a hell of a connection for the two of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I did see your trailer right after the show I was on the other week, and pretty chilling. It's I'm really excited to see that, Tom, when it comes out.
Well, let me tell you, I'm getting great reviews all over the country, and we just can't wait to get this damn thing done all the way. It's just a matter of time now, just putting those ducks in order and getting it all out. I've been working feverishly, believe me, and it's affected me personally. I got to be honest with you, but we're going to get it out, and we'll be here real soon. Tell me what's going on up there in your area.
Yeah, well, after I talked to you here the other week, the activity has increased quite a bit, and it's actually kind of like clockwork. It's springtime. I guess animals are getting hungry, and these creatures are no exception either. But what's happening now is we're starting to find evidence in our city limits now. That's pretty intriguing because, you know, we usually have to, in the past, would have to go out in the field, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 miles on and over to, you know, see some form of evidence. Well, we're seeing this in our city limits now, usually by the rivers. And that's what I got to see here, actually, very recently, last week. And I took some pictures. I sent some to Marco Bill, but I sent them late, and he wasn't able to post them today. But we're, of all places, in a riverine park. We have some stick formations and, you know, things that are basic evidence that we believe are related to Bigfoot activity. And actually, it was a friend of mine that lives right by this riverine park. His name's Daryl, and I think you may have met him or I've talked about him before. And this area that I'm talking about is an investigation area we did with, I believe it was Annie McCormick, the former TV journalist from Albuquerque.
Yes.
Yeah, this is just within a half mile of that area. And
is that coincidental, or is it set your clocks by this each and every year when they come and when they move and when they migrate?
I believe it's like what you just said, the latter. I think it's set your clocks, here they come. You know, because this is exactly what's happened. We can do it like, in fact, you were the one that first told me about that. Like, you and TJ said that, you know, almost to the very day that you've seen them, go back that same exact day, same, you know, similar hours, and you may see or experience the Bigfoot activity as you saw it the year before.
Yeah, you know, I tell everybody, and year after year after year, it comes true to form, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It really does. You know, yeah. I want to open it up because I'm having people call on the other line. I'm seeing the emails that I'm getting. Can we have everybody together and talk about this? And we want to hear more from Mindy and Lisa. Well, I think it's about time. What we need to do is Mindy, Lisa, Anthony, unmute yourself and everybody come on at once. Are you all there now?
No, I got to do on each one. Now, we're going to have a couple other people. We're going to have Steve. We're going to have Lisa. We're going to have Rocky.
Oh, Rocky.
I'm on.
Yep, we're going to have Anthony. And we're going to have Mindy. And we're going to have Scott from Montana. He was a guest on our show the other week. And Dave from Four Corners. Okay. They're all unmuted. Everybody's on.
Good evening, everybody. How
Giant
are you?
Here.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, who wants the first floor? Who's going to question for who?
I got a question for Mindy.
Who is this now?
Anthony.
Okay, Anthony, go.
All of these experiences that she said that she had blocked out, I mean, is she going to, Mindy, let me ask you, can you recall all, are you able to recall all of these experiences? So when I think it was Lisa, the writer, that, you know, so that she'd be able to, you know, give a good account, you know, and whatever is going to be written in the future.
Yeah, I actually want to kind of write it myself, but I mean, what I could do is write it myself and then, you know, maybe show it to a professional writer, you know, whoever it may be, you know, and see, you know, if they can improve on it, you know, because, you know, I don't know if I'm exactly a perfect writer myself, but,
well,
but
I think
I do
what
need
you're
to...
looking for, Mindy, is a ghost writer. Okay, in other words, a ghostwriter that's going to tell your story in your word.
And I do know of a ghostwriter.
What, honey?
Well, you got a license.
Well, listen, first of all, we got two conversations going on here. What is that, Bill?
I don't know. Somebody's talking in the background in one of the lines.
Okay, so let's mute that person out if they don't have the decency.
I can't tell you which person that is, Tom. There's 6-8 people on the line.
Okay, whoever's got a conversation going on, please extend the courtesy of others that are talking now, please. Okay?
We've got guys on our food.
Yeah, I can hear it, too.
You hear that?
Whoever you get to write as a ghostwriter, my wife is an excellent proofreader, so if you want somebody to proofread, after you get it written,
Lisa chime in here. Lisa, you there?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to let everyone get their words in.
So what do you think about this? Can you do what she's asking somebody to do?
Well, like I said, I've never been actually physically published, but I've been a children's writer most of my life, and now I'm trying to go into more like the paranormal and the unusual. My advice to Mindy, if she wants to write it on her own, anyone can write a book, honey. Anybody can. You just have to put your mind to it. The first thing that you want to do is write the highlights of everything that was important. And then you emphasize each of those highlights with all the information that you can think of that was included in that highlight. And that's how you kind of get your start.
Okay.
I think it's great that you want to do that. I won't step on toes, but you're more than welcome to get any kind of advice or anything that I might be able to assist on. Or if you get stuck, I could maybe kind of help you get through that stuck moment. I just think it's amazing that you've had that opportunity. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone actually having a physical relationship with one. I mean, not saying intimate-wise. I'm just saying where you've actually been able to touch one and, communicate like that. I just think that was such a blessing for you.
It was really awesome. It was.
It would be such an honor to have that opportunity. And
I want to ask a question here. It may sound
and
stupid.
Like I said, I've never really had any experiences except for this one. So I'm kind of new to all this. So it just excites me to hear stories like yours and just makes me want to write. So thank you for your inspiration and your information that you're sharing with everyone. It definitely gives people who are new to this, like me, a better understanding and more excitement to keep looking and keep finding more answers. So thank you, Mindy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Any other questions?
I have a question. This is Dave Ortiz. This is for Mindy.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, Mindy, you were going to explain about the mind speak, and we never quite heard about what the creatures were telling you. I just wanted to hear what they told you.
What were you calling it, mind speak?
Yeah, you were hearing these things not verbally, but they were like in a psychic realm, I guess you might call it.
Well, I didn't actually hear them say anything. It was just like an impression that's like on my mind.
It's like an emotion that like over absorbs your energy.
It's kind of like knowing their thoughts.
Did you feel an intention from it when you felt that feeling?
The one when I was being chased out of the woods, like that was on my mind, and it was like directive, like it was like, even though I didn't hear, I just knew what it wanted me to do. It's like, go out to the lawn, everything will be okay. Go out to the lawn, everything will be okay. And then when I was sitting on the log where it wanted to poke me on my hip. That's all I know, even though it didn't happen, but it was just like, it was on my mind. And then there was another time when it was, like, really cold out, and it was just on my mind that they wanted me to put an art pad out on the snow with a pen. They wanted me, to, and I thought, oh, my, and I didn't know, you know, even though they were, Bigfoots were always on my mind, and I didn't, it wasn't, like, consciously, you know, like, I wasn't consciously aware of it. But it's like they're trying to tell me, hey, we have, you know, they wanted to communicate with me. But I thought, oh, my God, if I do that, my family's going to think I'm crazy. You know, but that was on my mind, and it was really cold out, and they wanted me to put an art pad out there. And then, the other time when, yeah, it was going to, it wanted to poke me, I was sitting on the log, but.
I would say that that would be kind of like a woman's intuition is how I would describe that.
Well, let me ask you this. At any time, did you see an arousal from these creatures?
No, actually, I didn't. I didn't look, you know, maybe.
Well, because I looked at the thing that you sent me, okay, where he was smiling.
Yeah.
And he was laying on the ground, and you were laying facing each other.
Right.
So I'm sure you would have seen anything that ever popped up, wouldn't you?
Well, I did a quick glance over on his whole body, you know, and then from that one, by the time that was when he was crawling in, and then it's like I thought, oh my God, I could close my eyes because it's like, even though I wanted to, you know, keep them open, it's like, here, my God, there's this, you know. Supposedly a mythical creature is right in front of me, and you're real, you know, and I didn't want to do that, but it's just like, I just had to have some time to think.
Have we heard from the gentle giant yet tonight?
I'm right here listening.
Well, do you have a question for Mindy?
Yeah, Mindy. I have to agree with Tom. Oh, my God. I had at least anywhere from 9 to 10 experiences with these things up in Northern California, not so much back east, but, oh, my God, I've never had one try to poke me before. sorry, no disrespect, but I've never been that lucky, to tell you the truth. But I do believe you. I really honestly do believe you. These things... As Tom would say, we are their, we are their comic relief. They sit back and watch us do stupid things. But what was the thought that entered through your mind when this actually happened?
You mean when he was in my tent?
Right.
Yeah, it was just, like, awesome, and it's, like, just my mind was racing. It's, like, you're real, and you're right in front of me, you know? It's, like, that's the initial shock. It's the initial shock.
Right, but when you first had your experience, you didn't get scared or anything like that?
I was scared. I was scared I was going to die. Because he kept poking me, and I wasn't complying, and I thought, oh, my God. Because I was just waiting. I didn't know what was going to happen, you know. I didn't know that he was going to bolt out of the tent. You know, I thought, I could die right here. You know, that's really how serious it was.
Right. And, I mean, my own experience, I saw one when I was at least 5 years old through my bedroom window, and our faces were only a foot away from each other. So I know the feeling that you yourself went through. I mean, in a way it's scary, but in a way it's not. It's kind of in between, hard to explain. Like you've been, it's like you've been imprinted on. So now that you've been imprinted on, no matter where you go, they keep an eye on you. I have the same experience. I've been imprinted on. So no matter where I go up in the hills now, they just watch. They don't make a move or something like that.
Well, Mindy said that earlier today. I don't know if any of you people caught that. Because no matter where she has traveled, they have kind of followed. Is that not correct, Mindy?
Well, we had been moving, when I was married, we had been moving quite a bit, and so there was kind of a gap. So if, you know, because we had moved out to Utah for a couple of years, then we came back, and, you know, so, I mean, I didn't have any, there was like a 23-year gap until we went visited the property where the habituation is, and last spring, and then they followed me down here. That's like out of the movies right there. It's like from Minnesota all the way down to Tennessee, they followed me.
Imprinting.
And I hadn't had any knocks on the windowsill until I had visited the property. And then it's like they came, like the last one was in September, so I think they went back up north. But then some other ones saw them, you know, and then so then I have other ones around, you know, but it's just incredible.
Well, I got to tell you that, yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I've been doing this a long time. I've heard, but nobody has ever had the guts to come forward as you have, and I really thank you for that. I really got to tell you that, Mindy. All kidding aside, you're a treasure to behold, I'm sure. And I think if you ever get your book written, published, and the world gets to read it, I'm sure that somebody will have the guts to come forward and make a movie out of it. I really do. I think it'd be a hell of a fictional movie, even though it's nonfiction. What do you think, Giant?
I'd buy it.
I agree with that 100%. I really do.
Yeah. Guaranteed, I'd buy it.
Let me ask our co-producer here and host, Marco Bill.
Yes.
Okay, good. He's not sleeping and he's not drinking wine, so and he said yes. Okay. What do you think? Would you
Scotch on the Rocks? No.
Oh God.
No. No, I think it'd be in either book or movie. It'd be an excellent subject. I think it'd be a real good story.
It'd make the Hendersons take a hike.
Yeah. I mean, and Mindy is so, you know, this chick isn't a girl from a trailer and you know, has been. Excuse the pun, honey, screwing a relative or anything like that. This chick has come from respectable people, and she's educated.
Well, Tom, one other thing, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, if you recall, that guy that his wife was taken and raped by a creature.
Yeah. Well, do you know that story, Mindy?
No, I haven't even heard about that.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yeah, this, Lisa, Mindy, I'm going to tell you this story. And we were traveling on the road back from Daytona, Florida, from the swamps, back up to Ohio, and I get a call that Saturday night. This guy calls crying, that his wife was kidnapped by these creatures and held with them, and the cops thought he was nuts. And he went out with the two friends. And they found the woman in a lair, and she had been violated. Do you know what that means, Mindy?
Yeah, but it's not fun. Oh my God, I am.
I'm telling you, she was violated.
Uh-huh.
They took her to the hospital, the emergency room. They held her there for 3 days. They finally got the cops involved and all that kind of story. And he went nuts. The husband went nuts. She never wanted to go back to the area, and this was just recently, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So.
And that was last week?
No, yeah. It was
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Really? What wow. What state?
Texas, I think.
No. It's right up there. It was in Virginia.
Oh,
oh wow.
In Virginia.
Wow.
I got a question for you guys, anybody who wants to answer. Mindy mentioned, you know, all of these encounters where it was more of a hands-on experience. Anyone ever think that they may not be as aggressive as we may think, and that if we gave peace offerings when we were out there searching for them, they'd be more liable to feel less threatened by us and have more contact.
In actuality, they do that.
What kind of a peace offering? Would it be like food or
Usually it's food. If you give them something like peanut butter with sardines or something like a salmon, now their main diet's fish, but if you give them something like a salmon, they'll be your friend for the rest of their lives.
Well, we've had several guests on the show in the last couple of years that have, actually that's how they started. They were getting, one was little rocks, colored rocks laid on the porch, right, Tom?
Correct.
Texas, and then the little rock formations. Others, actually, tree formations or stick formations in the yard. Bones, one from Iowa. Skeletons, the squirrels and raccoons and stuff like that. They left these little bones and stuff. So I mean, the gifting is, it's happened quite a few times.
Hmm. Yeah, because it just seems like that would be something that would probably help draw them out, but yet still make them feel
Native safe. Native American legends, depending upon which tribe you're talking about, I recall a couple stories from Alaska where they would come and they would see a track, and what they'd do is they'd lay shotgun shells and some other things down in the track as a gift to the creature to... as an offering, peace offering type of thing. And that's what the Native Americans would do.
Now, I'm going to tell you guys a story. I was down there in Daytona, Florida, I guess 3 weeks ago. And I went to re-meet the pancake lady. I don't know if Lisa and Mindy has ever heard of them.
No, I haven't.
The pancake lady was labeled the pancake lady because she used to feed them pancakes and a concoction of syrup that really, when these creatures smell them, would come in and bacon. Well, if you cook up bacon outside and put it out there, you'll get the ears and nose of every critter out there for the 5 miles surrounding in your area, your target market. Well, she was feeding a family pot of these things, her famous concoction of pancakes and syrup. And she has a very compelling film that she already had sold. And she had the ability, it's amazing, to see wherever she traveled, these creatures would travel with her. She went from, Kentucky, to now she's in Florida, and the creatures are there also. It's totally phenomenal.
Wow.
There's some of those people that have that ability, Jane and Jody, who were up there where are they from, Bill?
Well, now they're in North Carolina, but they were in,
they were down there in Kentucky also.
Kentucky or Utah, yeah, Kentucky.
No, it was Kentucky. And these creatures had followed them there. And then Mindy has traveled to all these different places, and the creatures have been following her. Or to hear the giant talk about, did you say branded, or what was the word you used?
You've been marked.
Marked.
It's a type of a spiritual thing where any type of creature can mark you, and once you're marked, you're part of their community, I guess.
I got to tell you something. This has been a very compelling almost hour and a half, guys. I really had a good time. Not in a way of jest. I had that was added in there. The comedic value means a lot because when you take things just so serious all the time, I mean, what the hell? It gets boring, doesn't it? But when you get a bunch of nice people and sincere people, I might add, sincere people, to come forward, tell their story, and be a part of a show, I want to thank each and every one of you. Mindy, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and you have my number. Anytime you need to talk, I'm there for you, okay?
Okay.
Are you there?
Yep.
Okay. Lisa, same goes for you. Anthony, I don't have to tell you because you're part of my family. Same thing when it comes to you, my good man out there in the four corners, my other boy. And did you tell me that Rocky's on the phone?
Yes, he is.
Rocky, how are you?
I'm good.
Have you heard any of this stuff tonight?
No, I just got done taking a cold shower.
Oh, jeez. Mindy, you see what you did to this guy?
Yeah, it's Mindy's fault.
Well, no, hey, at least he's being honest. I mean, what the hell? I mean, you don't hear this stuff. This is what's called, ladies and gentlemen, live radio, okay? You don't find this in all those other phony shows. You're seeing it L-I-V-E, right here, Bigfoot Live. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for these people, it wouldn't be possible. I want to tell you, we're going to have you on our show down the line. Thank you for sharing your stories with us and the people around the globe. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a goal and a patch that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, legend, tales, and facts.